3, 2, 1.
This is the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and instead we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm Stephanie Rearwell, EVP of Engagement here at BPD. Happy to be your host today, and I'm joined by two really special guests, really exciting guests. First, we have the brilliant, the familiar, dare I say famous, Chris Bevelo, Chief Transformation Officer at BPD. Chris, poking fun of you a little bit there. Hi, how are you? Happy to have you back on the show.
You shouldn't dare say that. That's not it. That's not it at all. Great to be back, though. Really glad to be here and with our other guests as well. Old friend and smart person. And dare I say, famous.
So famous as well, all the famousness. So we're joined by a very special guest, a friend of BPD and emissary for Chief Marketing Officers, Kristen Weavers, former SVP and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at UC Health. Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us. How's it going?
It's going awesome. Delighted to be here among the famous people and famous celebrity people like Chris Bevelo, who's been my healthcare celebrity hero since I started in healthcare probably 15 years ago. Delighted to be here.
Retweet. So a few episodes ago, on the episode from May 2nd titled Igniting Greatness, HIMSS 2024, that's HMPS, HIMSS, we discussed a topic that we call Rome is Burning, which is a wake-up call to the future of the CMO role in healthcare. Now, on that episode, we barely scratched the surface of this trend, and there's a lot more to dig into. So that's what we're going to be doing today, because we've been having conversations with health system CMOs around the nation about this topic for some time now. At least, I don't know, what would you say, Chris, since the beginning of this year, end of last year, this has been bubbling up.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back a year, really, when we first saw this and recognized it as a potential thing.
Yeah. And so as we started noticing that trend, we had a session at HIMSS, Healthcare Marketers and Physician Strategy Summit in Las Vegas back in May about this topic of Rome is Burning. And we also had a private roundtable dinner with health system CMOs to discuss this hot topic. That's my dad joke of the day. So in this episode, we'll go deeper into Rome is Burning. Deeper into the trend, we'll address several questions and comments that we've been getting from marketers across the nation. So first of all, just to set the stage, for those not aware of what we mean by Rome is Burning, and for those that might be thinking, that sounds really intense, Chris, can you start us off with a bit of an overview of what do we mean by this?
Yeah, for sure. So again, going back, I think, to the origins a year ago, just a few things were happening at once, and they all kind of came together. And just kind of hit my head in a way that made me think, is there something bigger here? So the first was we were in the middle of what we call pixel mayhem. We don't need to go into that. We all know what that is. That's the Office of Civil Rights saying, you know, the way that we're using data violates HIPAA. There's a lot of lawsuits. And the point of it was a lot of health systems, rather than trying to figure it out, just said, we're just shutting it down. We're just going to shut down all the pixels. We're not going to track anything, which was kind of a reinforcement of, we either don't understand marketing and its value, or we don't care about the value of marketing. So that was going on. I also happened to, at this time, try to make an appointment for a colonoscopy, which is a pretty typical diagnostic. And it was hilarious because I called the person, she sighed, she put me on hold. This was June. And she came back and she said, the first appointment's in January. Of 2024, so this past January, our scheduling software doesn't even allow us to schedule more than 6 months out. So you need to call back in July just so you can schedule in January. And that's sad and funny and weird and not great, but also very representative of a lot of what's been happening, which is access really being diminished for two reasons that make a much bigger reason. The first is what I would call historical demand for healthcare, which is the baby boomers moving through the system. They're full-fledged going in now. They're aging in at a time where they need more care. So we call it the pig through the snake. And then really historical supply issues. If you think about all of the labor crises that have been going on from COVID, through COVID, after COVID, nursing shortage, all of that, people shutting down units. And so it's much, much harder to get in. So you have more people wanting care. You have way, way, way less access to care, capacity for care. So how does that relate to Roma's Burning? Why would you need to market? Why, I mean, if you can't even handle the people who want a colonoscopy for 7 months, why in the world would we be marketing, right? Now, obviously, that's not what we believe, and that's not what most CMOs believe. But the fear was, what if CFOs or CEOs start thinking that way? And the kind of the culmination of all of it was, at that point, we had heard by halfway through last year of 5 significant-sized health systems who had eliminated their CMO role. So not just let go of people for whatever reason, got rid of the role altogether. And sometimes that included other senior marketing roles at the organization. And since then, going through HIMSS, to your point, Stephanie, we learned of 2 others. And there may be more, but you know, is 7 a trend? Is 7 a big deal? I don't know. But this is happening outside of healthcare too. And I would think, Stephanie, to throw it back to you, what we heard at HIMSS, both from the panel session that we did with Kristen and also the roundtable that we did, and Kristen was present for that, was reinforcement that, yeah, this is actually something we need to be thinking about. And oh, by the way, none of that touched AI. And I'll just leave that. I'll leave that over here for now.
Yeah, we'll put that in the parking lot and come back to it. So yes, at HIMSS, this really drew a lot of attention, right? We, I think, had standing room only in the session. And more importantly, it drew CMOs across a lot of the largest health systems out there who wanted to hear from Kristen and others that we had on the panel. And one cool aspect was there was a lot of competitors in the room too. And folks were really leaned in and engaged and, you know, sort of agreeing. And we also saw in the round table discussion, which was sort of more of a private setting with open discussion, a lot of sharing of real stories of what this looks like in my health system versus my health system and how this is taking shape. So maybe with that, Kristen, I would love to hear from you, first of all, you know, a little bit about your story and why this matters to you, but also would love to hear, you know, your take on is Rome burning and what you've seen.
Absolutely. And again, delighted to talk about this because it is a pulse that's worth paying attention to. And I do think that what was absolutely revealing was the standing room only session that we had with both Sarah Sanders and Lisa Schiller, really two top-notch chief marketing and communications officers at UCSF and UNC. And it was delightful to be with them because we represented a broad spectrum where Sarah really, when asked that question, said probably a little bit. And Lisa said, not at all. And my answer was, holy heck, it's hot. Yes, Rome for me burnt to the ground and it's still cinders, if you really want to know. My role as Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at UC Health in Cincinnati, after 7 years as an inaugural member of the executive team under the reporting to the CEO, we had a CEO leadership change. And with that came, I think, incredible pressures financially that this leader walked into and said, I don't need the role. Hands down, it was a pretty quick decision. And I think that a lot of health systems across the country are facing such financial pressures along a spectrum. But to your point earlier, the dinner that we had in that small setting, that private session before the large general session, it was very intimate. And you had probably some of the most highly regarded CMOs in that room talking about a leadership change in my shop has almost negated a double-digit career of exceptional contribution and results because of the financial pressures and the questions being asked of that highly regarded, respected CMO are back to the basics and back to basic metrics and measurement and budget question and prove your value. And if that person is being asked those questions, all of us should think about Rome potentially burning, is burning, has burned.
Yeah, absolutely. And this comes to life in different ways for different systems and different folks, to your point. But it's sort of the culmination of a lot of chaos that we've seen in healthcare over the past, I don't know, 5+ years, which is not just what happened around COVID-19, but it's also a lot that, you know, we've been talking about on the show, including, you know, the narrative against health systems cost, which we call the value attack, including, you know, new interest at the top of the funnel wars, which I think, Chris, you've been the namer and the trend whisperer behind a lot of these. And so, you know, do you want to share any just examples of the chaos that you've seen and how has that led up to this moment? And how is that now taking shape for CMOs?
Yes. And we get a hard time because you just, you know, went through the names of our trends. Rome is burning, the funnel wars, the value attack. It's very violent. And that was not intentional. They're all real. And in all those cases, potentially negative. And I think it's fair too. I think Kristen was 100% right. The way that the panel described it, it was kind of like Goldilocks, like everything's okay. And Kristen was like, Rome burned for me. You don't even have to agree with the premise that this is going to eliminate CMO jobs. It's more that it's going to change them. And I think that that is almost a certainty. And that's where you throw AI in there as well. And if you want to talk about chaos, I think AI stands to be a real agent of chaos moving forward. And in mostly good ways for healthcare, but for marketers, I think, you know, health system marketers and marketers beyond our industry, AI stands to be a real disruptor. And so, again, what does that mean for the top role? And this message also, it should be said, isn't just for the CMO, quote unquote, literally. It is for anybody that reports up to a CMO or aspires to be a CMO, because the CMO obviously is the top person over a marketing function. And whatever happens to her or him at that level, it rolls downhill, like we all know what that saying is. So if it's going to happen to the top role, it's going to impact everything below it. So no matter where you sit in the marketing department, I think this is important. And so, yeah, the chaos is everywhere, Stephanie. I mean, I think most people know about it. The question is, to what degree are we coming out of it? And I think, you know, the labor stuff has started to stabilize, but it's still, labor costs are still way more than they were in the past for most health systems. The financial situation is getting better, but there are still systems that are in dire, dire straits. So, you know, this isn't a trend that we see like going away by the end of the year or in April. It's you know, it's not a suburb of Rome that's on fire. It's the whole metropolitan area.
Yeah, it's just not one county, right? Chris, I just want to reinforce, I totally agree with what you're saying. This opportunity around AI is one all of us as marketers from top to bottom of a department, as well as communicators, should lean into and frankly not be afraid of, but should lead what this is about, because everyone's in the dark about it. It is something that will change the complexion of how we think about and how we do our work. And AI is a fabulous tool to augment what everybody else is trying to figure out. We shouldn't shy away from it. We should lean right into it, not let up, press into it, lead the way for people, and use it as a tool to help us propel progress, to help us learn at every level. And that is pivotal. Part of what I think we learned by polling the group in the large session at the conference was that how much does your organization or CM or your CEO really understand and value the role of marketing, not just the CMO role? And this is a perfect opportunity with AI to take the lead, to learn about it, to bring your organization along, and then drive efficiency and effectiveness through it as a tool to help you kind of kickstart your efforts in your marketing versus be worried that it's going to eliminate jobs. I think it will eliminate jobs if we don't adopt it and lean into how it becomes a tool to augment our work and propel us to get further faster.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we dig into some of those things that not just CMOs, but marketing teams overall can be doing in the face of this Rome is burning trend? Because first of all, Kristen, thank you again for sharing your story, because I think it's just so important that folks hear that and see and hear, you know, specific examples of ways this is taking shape, because that can help whole teams really think differently about what to do next. And maybe there was a theme, I think, that came out of the session. I think Lisa Schiller maybe threw this quote out, and Kristen, you and Sarah both built upon it. But Lisa said, you know, to quote Usher, we have to evolve or evaporate. And that kind of became a theme. And what was awesome was there was a lot of discussions about real solutions, right? There wasn't really any fiddle playing. So when we think about the metaphor of Rome burning, right? Emperor Nero just playing the fiddle while everything burned, there wasn't a lot of that. There was a lot of like, let's lean in, let's think about solutions. How do we do things differently? How do we recognize that, you know, folks are maybe incredible and amazing CMOs, but it's not about that. It's about the trends and the things happening around those marketing teams. So why don't we get into some of those poll questions? Because I think it's a good way to get a pulse on where folks are. So I'm just going to give a highlight of some of the poll questions that we shared. So first of all, we asked the audience at the beginning of the session, which of the following poses the greatest threat to the role of the health system CMO? And we gave some answers such as financial stress, shrinking need of marketing, things that you set up at the beginning, Chris. Secondly, how much does your organization's leaders value marketing? Highly value, somewhat value, et cetera. And third, do you believe the CMO position at health systems is under more threat than in the past? Yes, no, or unsure. So we can dig into these answers here in a second. But I also just want to ask, Chris, you selected these questions. Is there some, you know, you are obviously pulling from the conversations you've had, from the trends you were seeing to select them. What was your kind of reasoning and desire behind asking the audience these?
Yeah, I think it was to really validate to what degree is this an issue, right? Because CMOs, the marketing function and marketing leaders at health systems have never been valued to the level that they should. Like, that's not news. As long as I've been in this business, which is a long time, that's been an issue. So the point of Rome is burning is, hey, these are new things. This is all, you know, AI, of course, but the idea of the supply and demand crunch, that's a new dynamic that we're just facing now. The pixel mayhem maybe is a reflection of that. So we kind of wanted to say, like, hey, does this just feel like, yeah, we have this conversation all the time, it's nothing new in general? And to what degree do you out there in the audience, the other marketers who are attending, see and hear this? And I think the results, again, both the feedback that Kristen alluded to at the roundtable, where we heard from some of the top CMOs in this space, who 100% said, yes, this is an issue. I'm facing scrutiny that I've never faced before. Supply, demand, the idea that why would we even need marketing? That is a real thing. So we heard it anecdotally. I think we heard it in the panel from people, but I think the responses validated as well from the survey.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kristen, from your vantage point, when you hear and see, you know, these answers of what the pulse on the audience, right? So for example, just taking the first one, which of the following poses the greatest risk or threat to the role of the health system CMO? And 40% said lack of understanding or value of marketing by leadership. The next really close answer there was 38% that said financial stress for health systems. We then had 13% saying shrinking need for marketing due to growing demand combined with training capacity. And then 6% said none of the above. So as you look at those, as you hear those, Does that align with your experience? What is your take on that audience response?
I think the pulse is correct. 80% of the folks really folded together lack of understanding and value, along with the overall financial stress that everyone is facing that came through COVID with what we've already talked about, and supply and demand issues pressing on those finances. So it's absolutely accurate. And herein, you know, it's an interesting dilemma, and I would say always positioned as an opportunity. I spent almost 20 years at Procter & Gamble and eventually migrated into healthcare because I saw such an opportunity to help the healthcare industry, although people will not like that I refer to it as an industry or a business, to help them understand the value of brands, the value of advancing your brand and distinguishing your brand and making sure people understand that value, which means you have to be obsessed with the operational delivery as well as the emotional experience. And that's the customer service, et cetera. Moreover, the marketing function is really not historically, classically trained in healthcare. And therein lies the opportunity, again, at the common denominator of learning and being a strategic business builder using brand building and marketing to advance and distinguish your business. And given the fact that there is an overall misunderstanding about what this function can do to lead, build, and advance your brand and business, everyone should grab the bull by the horns on this. One comment that I made that I wished I had modified within the conference discussion that we had was we were talking about asking for more budget. And it was a good dialogue because the person in the audience piped up and we dialogued a little bit where I said, I wouldn't ask for more budget today. And the positioning really is, I would ask for investment to strategically grow, build, or start up a strategic area of the aligned business goals among the executives and lean into building those relationships and helping people understand that that's your job. Because everybody gets what HR does, what an attorney does. There is a wide spectrum of understanding about what marketing and communication does and the value it really brings. And we're seeing that by saying, let's at least short term dismiss the role because of financial pressures, or we've got a 6-month wait for a colonoscopy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you make some really key points there. And some of those are things we can discuss in terms of key takeaways that marketers can have. I think one of them is the fact that you bring up, you know, the importance of building relationships internally, and of even the language that's used, the ability to speak finance, all of that. But I love that you bring this unique lens. You have Procter & Gamble experience and healthcare experience. And, you know, Procter & Gamble is a great example of a company that is a marketing first company, right? Thinking about product development, product design, all of that is marketing and audience understanding and segmentation of consumers. Healthcare is operations first for good reasons, clearly, right? But because of that, it's the job of the CMO and the job of the marketing team is very different. It is a lot about the internal education, the internal, you know, ability to work with other to work with decision makers and other folks. So I think that's a really important takeaway that you bring up and one that all marketers can be working towards. Yeah. So with that, just to hit a couple more of these poll questions, and why don't we talk about some of the takeaways here? So how much does your organization's leaders value marketing? 40% said highly value, 37% said somewhat value, but actually 20%, which is a decent chunk, said sort of. The other question here, do you believe CMO positions at health systems is under more threat than in the past? The majority, 52%, said yes. So that seems like a pretty clear note. So Chris, what reactions did you have to these as you heard them and read them in real time?
Well, I think the first question you just brought up, the how much does your organization's leaders value marketing? 40% said highly value, we should throw a party. And I mean that for somebody who's been in this business a long time, that was, if you asked that question 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't think it'd be 40% at all. So that's something to celebrate. But that also means 60% of the people didn't say that. So that just shows you how far we have to go, right? So it should not be 40%. It should be 70 or 80, right? So there's something to celebrate there, but it shows the problem as well. And I think the other one too, do you believe it's under more threat, the CMO position? 52% said yes. 29% said no, right? So that's still also, that's barely a third said, I think we're fine, which another way to interpret that is two-thirds said, no, we're not fine. It's either worse or I'm not sure if it's worse or not. So again, I think that that just supports that we know this has always been a difficult role to hold in terms of receiving the value that it should deliver. In many cases, people aren't delivering that value, so that's an issue. But even where they are, to Kristen's story of the you know, very respected CMO who said, I'm back to square one. That's the stuff that's concerning. And again, I think we just have to think about this as it's a different day moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree and align with that. One of the things I think we all posed to the group, pardon me, in our session was, where did you answer that question and why did you answer it that way? And every individual needs to be able to think through where they stand on that spectrum in that role, and not just for themselves, but for the function and the team that they are responsible for developing, growing, advancing, and providing wonderful professional experiences. And if you're constantly battling people that still think you should be doing billboards and tactical execution, and that's how they define this incredible business building function, you are going to be in that camp that isn't valued and is one of the people that probably has a leader that turns. But on the other hand, you have a tremendous opportunity, but you've got to evaluate where you stand and why, and then how do you move it forward? And I think that was a call to action we wanted everyone to walk away with, to really evaluate that and how you do it. And of course, we talked about different ways you might step into that.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about those a little bit more here? We have, I think, maybe in our last few minutes here, let's sort of sum up. You know, we were joking around about how can marketers have their bucket of water ready, right? How can you put out the fire that might be raging in your Rome or whatever your Rome is, and rethink the value that marketing brings and bring that forward in a new way. So Kristen, you already talked a little bit about continuing and building internal relationships and really focusing there. You also mentioned, and we can dig into that a little bit more. Also, I want to take AI out of the parking lot. So you talked about that a little bit, Kristen. I think that the key reason why we're wrapping that into this conversation is it was what, Chris, like one or two people that said that AI was a threat. One person. So yeah. So if we say, you know, for the most part, there wasn't any fiddle playing, but maybe that might have been a bit of fiddle playing because AI has been a growing threat over the past year plus. But even since HIMSS, even in the last 3 months, I think it's been even more and more clear that it's a threat. So what we're not seeing right now is healthcare marketers really raise that flag and consider how do they evolve or evaporate in a world where not only there's financial stress, not only is there shrinking need for marketing and lack of understanding around marketing, but also we have this creeping or maybe running, you know, trend of AI coming in. So I'll just, you know, so far we've talked about those two elements. Kristen, is there anything else you want to dig in either on the idea of continuing to build internal relationships or the threat of AI or other key takeaways you see for marketers?
One of the things I was thinking about for us to talk about today is how does the CMO and how does the CMO lead their team in learning at all levels? And number one, is there a commitment to do that? And are you willing to put some dollars behind investing in that? Because part of why I'm working on my doctorate is to stay contemporary as a leader as we move through these incredibly changing times with incredible pressure. So I think everyone has to look at how they learn and what are the resources they tap. to do so. So I just want to put a plug in. Every person at every level, at every time in their career, has to keep learning. And AI is a perfect example to use it to become the hero of AI, because everybody's trying to figure it out. We already talked about that. The small point that I want to make on relationships, just to be relevant for the time that we're in, use the summer when it just seems people are a little bit less, I think, formally engaged because of the summer vacation schedule and time off. Use that. Lean into it as a marketer to go find those people who aren't quite as tied up and have coffee, have tea, go to lunch, talk about their business, help them understand what marketers and brand builders do to advance the business, build that relationship to start having deeper business building conversations, and don't let up for a second and use the summertime. I always did that. You'd be surprised at how happy people were to grab a cup of tea or coffee during the summer when meetings are kind of canceled, bosses and other colleagues are away on vacation. Fabulous time to advance those relationships.
I love that. That's such actionable tip to use the summer in that way. I think it's another actionable tip to continue learning. And I just respect so much, you know, that not only do you have such incredible wealth of experiences, but you're building on that with your doctorate, which is, I believe, in leadership and organizational change, right?
Yes, resilient leadership. And how you do that through all the changes, whether it's the organization or the environment that we're living in today.
That's amazing. I love that. Chris, is there anything that you would add? I know you've continued having these conversations. I know you've continued being an ear for CMOs across the country. Anything else that you see folks doing that are helping to evolve?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new, so it may be frustrating to hear some of this stuff over and over, but just because it's not new doesn't mean it's easy to do. The most obvious, and this came out of the roundtable dinner loud and clear, continually pushing for marketing results that show ROI. That's still a rarity. I don't know, rarity is the strong word. In the minority of most health systems are actually doing that. And what we mean there is you actually show the results in terms of volume or contribution margin, which is hard to do. But the caveat to that is even for those that have done that, sometimes you get a reaction that's the same thing as a yawn. So think about it. You're a CEO of a $4 billion health system, and your marketer comes to you and says, hey, we ran this great campaign for cardiology, and we're able to generate 10-to-1 ROI. And so therefore, we brought in $1 million, which sounds amazing. You're a $4 billion organization and it's another million. There's nothing to sneeze at there, but you can also understand why a CEO will look at his watch or her watch and go, great, come back to me when that's $100 million, right? Of course, then you can go, well, then give me all the money to do that. The point of it is that's not the only thing you have to do. You have to do that. You have to get to a point where you're doing it at scale. You have to, your CFO has to be your best friend, because there's no way you're going to be able to deliver that news unless your CFO is copacetic with how you're measuring it. But the other part is getting into the conversations and the meetings that are material to the CEO. So M&A is a perfect example. Where does the CMO usually come in on that? After the deal's closed, we got to figure out brand. Sometimes that's a year later. Help us figure out this brand. Oh, by the way, we got to communicate this to our staff. Oh, thanks for the 3 weeks warning. Like, why isn't the CMO in the conversation at the very beginning? Who knows the market better than your CMO? Who knows your patients theoretically better than your CMO? So as you're evaluating M&A, the CMO should be a valuable resource for that. Payer negotiations, another one. One of the most material financial situations any health system will face is the renegotiation of a large payer contract. The CMOs typically are not in there at all. They're not even in the room. They're there. If things are going to go out of network, now everybody's got to put on their crisis hat and figure out how you're going to communicate that. Of course, that's important. But how can you show up and deliver strategic value in that conversation, right? That's how you're going to be seen by your leader as somebody who's contributing at a material level. And that's those are the things. And Lisa Schiller brought that up as well in the panel. So I think those are things we've talked about for a while, again, they're not, you can say it all day long, they're not easy to do. But that, I think, is some of the steps that you need to take.
Chris, I want to reinforce the payer relations opportunity, because that is one that a CMO can take the lead on 10 months to 12 months in advance of contract negotiations. And initiating, and strategically engaging the plan, upside and downside of opportunity there against payer contracts, which are revenue streams into the systems that get fixed and you have to live with it. You want to be distinguishing yourself and advancing those to the advantage of the health system. And if you can almost take the lead hip to hip with your payer contracting leader, that's another way to distinguish, brilliant idea to distinguish the CMO role and its contribution. And that only leads to further engagement around strategic dialogue, which is how we want CMOs to be thought about.
100%. 100%. We do a lot of that work. And the sooner you can get out in front of those, you know, once you're 3 months out, you're done. If you're even 6 months out of a tough negotiation is really hard. But if you can get out in front of it, a key is building, for example, strengthening relationships and building new relationships in your community, in your market with key stakeholders. That's employers, that's brokers, that's all kinds of folks that you wouldn't typically be engaging from the CMO role. But that is the work that needs to be done to build a foundation for whatever negotiation is coming. And sometimes it does mean going to market with something for consumers, not about going out of network, but just reminding people of the value that the organization brings. It's not a brand campaign. It's a different thing. But those are examples of things that a CMO can lead, to your point, Kristen, to help soften and improve the outcome of a negotiation.
Yeah. And key community leaders, executives in the community are also, regardless of the contract outcome, negotiation, renegotiation outcome, they are reminded of the contribution and role of your health system taking care of their employees. And it's a tremendous opportunity to advance again and reinforce the brand of your healthcare system that's serving them so well. Good, great, great. That has so many legs of opportunity. It's a great point, Chris.
Yeah, awesome. Well, these are really good examples of things that marketers can be doing to evolve as opposed to evaporate, to change, maybe instead of Rome is burning, to change it into the Amalfi Coast, or I don't know, Cinque Terre, whatever your favorite non-Rome city is. So thank you to both of you all for sharing all of these great actionable tips. We're going to wrap up. Before we do, is there any parting words of wisdom that you all want to share, any kind of rally cries to our marketer friends?
Sure. I think, like, again, we can make fun of all the kind of violent negative names. Rome is burning is kind of an alarm, like a ringing alarm bell, right? And the point is, Stephanie, as you said, don't fiddle, right? Don't stick your head in the sand, whatever metaphor you want to use. These things are real. To whatever degree they're going to impact you may vary, but these are real dynamics, real trends. Just as much as there's a challenge and a danger here, there is an opportunity. And if you look at it that way and you approach it that way and you double down on finding the opportunity, you're going to end up ahead of where you would have been, not behind in a pile of ashes with your fiddle. So don't take this as a negative. Take it as a wake-up call to go out and do something even bigger, even better. There really is a path forward with that. I think Kristen, I mean, the whole panel did a great job of hitting that note. Because we don't want to leave people with kind of a desperate sense. That's not the point. The point is, wake up to this, and now what are we going to do about it?
Yep, you're right on. Be brave, lean into it, discover, learn through it. And the reality is, sometimes you're going to have decisions, like in my case, that were made after, I would humbly say, stellar results over 7 years as an executive part of the team. You just have a different headset. But don't despair on that. Lean into the next opportunity if that should happen. And happy, you know, we'll talk about it openly because it is about business. And I think the last most important question to pose is, Chris, it's July. Have you scheduled your colonoscopy?
No. You want to know sad? The final part of that story is they called me back and said, we have an opening in December. Again, this was back in June. I'm like, great, I'll take it. And then guess what? I had to do a business trip and I had to cancel it. And now here we are a year later and I haven't done it. You know, it's not one of those things that I'm like waking up every morning and go, I can't wait to reschedule that, but I probably need to get on that. So,
okay.
There you go. I think you do that.
This episode of TMI has been brought to you by BPD.
Well, not only can we hold you to that now, everyone listening can hold you to that as well. So.
Great. That's great.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it here. First of all, thank you, Kristen, not just for joining, but for sharing your story, for being so open about it, you know, for doing the sessions you've done. I think it's just one, it you're able to give a, you know, real-time guidance to marketers out there and CMOs out there who really need it right now. So really appreciate your vulnerability and your wisdom.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate the dialogue with you and Chris today. And I'm delighted to do that and delighted to be part of helping others be successful and advance through this really incredible time. There is always a solution and everybody needs to remember that.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks again.
Great words to end on. And thank you, Chris, for joining us as always. It's awesome to have you on the show. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's ever something you want us to cover on the No Normal Show, shoot us an email at nonormal@bpdhealthcare. And make sure you share the show, as always, and give us a review and rating. We always appreciate it. And until next time, don't be satisfied with the normal. Don't be satisfied with any smoke or fire at all in Rome. Push the no normal, and we will talk to you next time. 3